our weekly fanfare. That means it's time for Matt Olean to join us in the Main Street studio. Matt, welcome back to Main Street.
Hi, Craig.
We review movies each and every Thursday. This Thursday is no exception, Matt, and this week's movie is The Outrun. Let's listen to the trailer.
Sometimes you can feel a vibration in Orkney. A low rumble. It takes over the whole island. And every part of your body. But there is only so much height any wave can sustain before it comes crashing down. I'm sorry.
I can't hear you say that again. I wish you were a completely different person.
The urge to drink can come out of nowhere. You think you're doing well. Suddenly you want nothing more than a drink.
All right, Matt, we've heard the trailer. This is a story that might hit hard to some, maybe, and seems pretty intense to me. The movie is called The Outrun. What did you think of it, Matt?
I liked it, didn't love it. The main problem is it's 20 minutes too long. This movie pushes the two-hour limit. Like it's like an hour and 59 minutes. And at some point, you feel like it's kind of repeating itself. So let me kind of set it up, though. Saoirse Ronan, wonderful actress, of course, and this is really an actor's piece, what this movie is. It's, you know, she's an alcoholic. She's trying to get her life back in order as she goes back to her home, which she was raised on the Orkney Islands near Scotland, if you're familiar with that, Craig. And she's, you know, there's a lot of flashbacks to her time in London when she's fallen down drunk in bars and she ruins her relationship with her boyfriend, wonderfully played by Papa Essoudou is his name. And so it's really told in kind of a disjointed fashion, which I liked. And I like the cinematography, too. I think what makes this movie at least good is Ronan's performance. We've never seen her give a performance like this. She's a wonderful actress, but I've never seen her kind of portray a character like this, of kind of this falling down drunk. She's a aspiring a medical student who screws that up because of her alcoholism. And the scenes of showing her falling down drunk and screwing up her life and all that stuff is really well done. The cinematography is excellent. The flashbacks within, when I say flashbacks, Craig, so what you see is she's back at the Orkney Islands. She's living with her mother, talking to her father. Really nice supporting performances by the actors who play her parents. Saskia Reeves plays her mother. Stefan Dillon plays her dad, who suffers from bipolar disorder. And that's a key kind of cog in this movie, kind of the passing down of mental illness. And she tries to rebuild her life by going home and kind of working for this nature preserve on a nearby island where they're trying to bring back a certain bird that has not migrated back to the island. So she's kind of finding this outdoor isolation work very, very nice. But through that, she's trying to keep her sobriety. And it's difficult. You know, any film like this, there's going to be setbacks. So I think what really makes the film is the cinematography, the setting. You know, we're not used to seeing films by the Orkney Islands in Scotland. We're used to seeing alcohol movies in LA or New York or Chicago or whatever. And her performance is just amazing. It's a tremendous performance. She's probably going to get an Oscar nomination. But in the end, I felt the last half hour kind of kept repeating itself. We were kind of seeing these scenes of her living in this isolated little shack on the island and doing her work and having more flashbacks. And it's kind of like, okay, we get it. We get it. And I would also say this, Craig, I'm kind of to the point now where, look, it's good to see a movie like this, but how many more alcoholism movies can we see? What new ground can we tread on with a movie like this? We've kind of seen it all before with The Lost Weekend and Barfly and Leaving Las Vegas, Days of Wine and Roses with Jack Lemmon and Lee Remick, one of the best films ever made about alcoholism, Come Fill the Cup, Jimmy Cagney, of course, all the Star is Born movies, you know, the recent one with Bradley Cooper. He played a man drunk as well as anybody, as any actor I've ever seen do it, because he didn't do it over the top, you know, like we kind of see in old movies. But there's a point where it's like, okay, hit rock bottom, go to rehab, recover. It's the same film over and over. And I don't know how many more ways there are to tell it, but at least we have an interesting setting. She's out there looking at these birds. She's trying to get her life back together. It's a great performance. But I think what hurts it in the end is it's just too long for the subject matter, and we've kind of seen it all before. But overall, I would slightly recommend it for Rodin's performance and the cinematography.
So, Matt, this was based on a novel.
It is.
Of the same name. And are you telling me then that there really isn't anything unique about her life story that really grabbed you?
Like I said, I think the setting is what makes it. Rodin's performance and the setting up on this isolated island. She kind of eventually lives in this little, it's almost like a shack, and she's living alone and trying to work on her sobriety. So all that is interesting. But I think a friend of mine were chatting about this afterwards. I think in the end, it's hard to reinvent the wheel with a movie about alcoholism. It's kind of like biopics. It follows that same bouncy ball, you know, hit rock bottom, go to rehab, recover, lose sobriety again, recover. It's kind of the same beat. You know what I'm saying, Craig? It's the same beat like in a biopic where someone hits stardom, hits rock bottom, comes back.
I was wondering whether the fact that she returns home would add anything to the movie, because quite frankly, every time now that I go home, when I go back to Wyoming, you know, I think about stuff, Matt. I think about things that, that happened early in our lives and family and friends and all of those things. You're saying that that also really doesn't add enough to the movie to really make it stand out.
It adds something to it. Now, had this film just been set in London, I think it would have been a much weaker film. The fact that she goes home to this isolated island that really moviegoers have not seen too much in movies. I've seen a few movies that are set in the Orkneys, but I think that adds to it. So let me say that it does add to the movie. I just think in the end, the film is too long.
Sure.
And I agree with you. You know, when I go home to Oaks, you know, there was a lot of drinking and alcohol growing up, you know, in a small town, and I don't need to draw your roadmap. And it's kind of this love hate thing. Like, I love my small town, but boy, there was a lot of drinking going on. And so I think that kind of makes it more interesting for me to watch a movie like this, because I saw friends kind of get into alcohol badly, you know, and it ruined their lives. So it's always there. And you just, you know, I thank my lucky stars when I walk out of a movie like this. I thank my lucky stars I never had the addiction gene. You know, I can have a couple beers and I can go home, but that's not the way it is for everyone. So it's good to have movies like this, and I like the setting. I love Rodin. She's an amazing actress. I don't know what more can be said about this topic.
Let's move on to our Academy Award trivia moment. Matt, you've mentioned this movie in this review. The actor won a Best Actor Oscar, and it had to do with addiction. Who was that actor, and when was the movie made?
I'm guessing you're thinking of The Lost Weekend, 1945, with Ray Milland winning the Oscar.
I was thinking of Leaving Las Vegas.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Yeah, well, so
Nicolas Cage.
So I mentioned two movies here that both got Best Actor. Yeah, Nick Cage wins Best Actor 1995 for Leaving Las Vegas, right?
Matt, we're going to review a movie next week that I am really looking forward to see what you have to say about it. Let our listeners in.
Saturday night. So Jason Reitman directs kind of it takes place in one night, that fall of 1975, as they're trying to get the first ever show of Saturday Night Live on the air. And now 49 years later, it's still going. So it looks, you know, so far the buzz on it is really good, but we'll see. I'll be the judge, right?
And you always do a great job of that. For our listeners here at Prairie Public, Matt Olien reviews movies with us each and every Thursday. Matt, thanks for joining us.
You bet.